Okay, Sidra begins with the topic of Eishes Yifas Tohar. Very briefly, at least according to some opinions, the parsha of Eishes Yifas Tohar is the following. Go out into a voluntary war where you're allowed to take captives, and a man is enamored with a non-Jewish woman. So the Torah says that he has to control himself, and if he wants to eventually live with her, he has to bring her home and takes her as a captive, and take off, let her take off the enticing clothing that she wore during the war. They used to wear enticing clothing to entice the soldiers of the opposing armies. And she sits, she cuts her nails and cuts off her hair, and she sits in your house for 30 days and cries for her mother and her father. And if after that you still want her, then you convert her and can marry her. And if not, then you let her go and don't treat her as a slave, just let her go her own merry way. Okay, without going into details, that's the basic idea of Eishes Yifas Tohar. What I want to focus on is one small part of that. It says this woman should sit in your home for 30 days and cry for her mother and father. The Zohar Chodesh says this alludes to the month of Elul. Somehow there's a connection between the crying of this captive woman for 30 days and the month of Elul. So I want to explain what that connection is. In the Rishonim we find three ideas behind this crying of the woman. The first is she's crying for her mother and father, and not only that, according to some opinions, she's even crying for her religion to make closure. She has to realize that that's her past, that she's probably never going to see these people again, that her religion didn't help her, and if she's going to start on a new life and convert and marry this Jewish man, she's going to have to make closure on the past. So we give her 30 days to get her father and mother out of her system, get her religion out of her system by crying for 30 days. That's the first idea, closure on the past. Second idea of why this woman cries for 30 days is, Ibn Ezra says, because maybe her parents were killed in battle, perhaps, she doesn't know, and therefore it is proper for a child, even Goyim, even for parents who were idol worshippers, to mourn for their parents because of Hakaras HaTov, because of gratitude to the parent, right? You mourn for them when they die. So therefore, we give this woman the chance to mourn for her parents. Perhaps they are no longer alive, and it's only the proper thing of gratitude to mourn for parents. And the third is, the Ibn Ezra says, that she's crying because her parents didn't have the opportunity to convert. She now sees the light. She sees how nice it is to live a Jewish life. She's going to convert and become a Jewess. And she mourns the fact that her parents never had that opportunity. Those are the three ideas. Closure on the past, mourning out of gratitude for the parents, and mourning for the fact that the parents didn't have the opportunity she has to convert. Based on this, I think that we can apply these three ideas to Elul. First of all, Elul is the end of the year, and it precedes the judgment of Rosh Hashanah. The Shari Tshuva says that averas that you don't do habitually, so those averas you usually regret doing them before you stop doing them. You regret it and then you stop. But averas that you're in the habit of doing, it's very hard to regret them because you're in the habit of doing them. Those averas you have to stop, and then after you stop doing them and you get out of the habit, then you can regret it. A person who's a chain smoker can't regret smoking. But if he stops, the more he stops, the more he's able to look back and regret that he ever smoked. So the question though is, if you are not regretting it, then why do you stop? So there's some obvious reasons. Because you have no choice. If, let's say that a smoker, right, the doctor tells him that if he continues smoking, he's going to get emphysema or who knows what, and he won't be able to smoke anyway, so he might as well stop. So that's something that makes you stop, even though you don't regret smoking. But as you stop, more and more you begin to regret. So in any case, the since the judgment is coming, a person has to be afraid of what his judgment is going to be. So even if he doesn't regret doing the sins that he's done, but he has to stop them. Right? It says that when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was on his deathbed, and his students came to visit him, he saw them and he began to cry. And they asked him, why are you crying? He said, because if they'd be bringing me before an earthly judge, who's here today and gone tomorrow, and can't give me any kind of eternal punishment, I'd cry, surely, if they're bringing before God, who is eternal, and his judgment could be an eternal judgment, so I surely should cry. So we see that crying is closure. Right? I have to come to closure with the things I've been doing that are wrong, because the judgment is coming up. That's what it means. She has to take off her clothing from the past, put on new clothing. Right? The situation is changing, a new year is coming. Get rid of the clothing, the improper clothing you've been wearing, figuratively speaking, the aveiras that you've clothed yourself in the past, and create a new atmosphere. Let her sit in the home of this Jew and absorb a new environment. Okay? And therefore, the Shari Tshuva says there are various things that can incite a person to do tshuva, even though he perhaps doesn't regret the sins that he's doing. One of them is Yisurim. He begins to have suffering. So it makes him think that maybe he has to change his ways. Or a time when you get old, right, and you realize that, you know, you're not going to be here forever. And old doesn't only mean that you're old in age, but sometimes old means al tashlichenu le'ezikna. There are times of oldness that even apply to young people. You just feel you can't cope anymore. You can't function. That's a time of being old. So here this woman is captured. She's obviously suffering. She's not in control anymore. She's lost control. All of these things should tell her that you must make closure on your past, and if you want to, you know, go ahead and go on with life in a different way. So the Rambam adds another dimension to this. Even if you can't separate yourself from the sin completely, at least minimize it. Rambam says that's what it means over here. The guy has this tremendous desire for this woman. So the Torah says, look, if you can't totally disassociate yourself from the desire, at least minimize it. Right, bring her home, try to at least convert her before you give in to your baser desires. And also it says let her cry so you should see that she's not so not so alluring. She's not so desirable. She's crying, all the other Jewish girls are happy, right? And look and see the difference. So similar in Elul, even if you can't separate yourself from the sin completely, at least don't be happy about it. At least make closure in the fact that you see it in a more realistic way, and you don't just ignore it, and realize that at least if you can minimize what you can minimize, that's good. And that's why it says ubachsa esavia v'yasima yerach yomim. Yerach yomim means a month of days, but the word month in Hebrew has two ways: yerach or chodesh. And the chodesh represents the beginning of the month, the new moon. So it's called, a month is called the chodesh because the moon renews itself. So a month, a lunar month, is called a chodesh, based on the beginning, the renewal. But it's also called yerach. Yerach comes from yoreach, also means moon. But yoreach has the idea of the moon being dark when it wanes. So it becomes pagum. It becomes a missing part. And the word yoreach can have yoro yireh, shot out, it's finished. So Yerach represents a month, but the end of the month when the moon is disappearing. Chodesh represents a month, but the beginning of the month. That's why when you write a ksuba, and you write the date, you write so-and-so days l'chodesh elul. But when you write a get, a divorce, you write so-and-so days l'yerach elul. Because yerach is the end, and chodesh is the beginning. When you have a marriage, you have a beginning. When you have a divorce, you have an end. So here you refer to the month as the beginning, here you refer to the month as the end. And therefore this idea over here is that the woman is crying for this 30-day period as a closure, as an end. End your past, right? Put closure on it. Begin a new era in your life. And that represents one aspect of Elul, which is the fact that it is the siyum, it is the end of the year, right? The closure of an old year. And it also has a connection to the hint of Elul, Umol Hashem Elokecha es levavcha ve es levav zarecha. God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your children. The words es levavcha, your heart, the es levav, and the heart of your children. The first letters of those four words spell Elul. Es, Aleph, Levav, Lamed, the es vav, Levav, Lamed. Meaning that this idea that God will circumcise your heart, take away the negative, and now you're starting something new. So that's the first aspect of the crying of this woman and what it has to do with Elul. Just like we let the woman cry for 30 days to make closure on her past, just so she can start a new period of life, right, a new era of her life, so too Elul is a time to cry for the past, make closure, right, separate yourself from the averas that you've done habitually, and make a new beginning, for get ready for Rosh Hashanah. Second idea. The idea is that this woman is crying for her parents because they didn't have the opportunity to convert. So the crying is for lost opportunities. Aside from regretting doing the sin, or realizing that if you continue doing the sin, your judgment is not going to come out okay, so you have to stop whether you like it or not, there's another idea in Elul. And that is, Elul begins the process of atonement, the 40-day process of atonement that culminates on Yom Kippur. Aside from being 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, it's 40 days before Yom Kippur, and there's a 40-day process of atonement that started when Moshe Rabbeinu went up on the mountain for the last 40 days and received the second luchos at the end of the 40 days on Yom Kippur. So for all history, that 40-day period has been a period of atonement. So the idea being the following, that the Vilna Gaon says that in the future we're going to have to give a din v'cheshbon. He says the din is for the things you've done wrong, right? You spoke lashon hara, right? You ate things that weren't kosher, whatever. He said the cheshbon is during that time that you were speaking lashon hara, right? You weren't just supposed to be neutral. You should have been doing mitzvahs then. So not only do you have to do tshuva for the sins that you did, you have to do tshuva for the mitzvahs you could have done at the time you were doing the sin. That's called a cheshbon. So same thing over here. This woman is crying not only to make closure on her past, but to realize that there's been lost opportunities. That had she perhaps known about this earlier, she could have converted earlier, and she's really sorry that her parents didn't have that opportunity. So during Elul, aside from addressing and stopping the negatives, it's also to realize what opportunities we didn't take advantage of and to give ourselves the incentive to take those opportunities in the future, in the coming year. And that has the connection to Anila Dodi V'Dodi Li, the other hint of Elul. I am to my beloved is to me. As much as I recognize and acknowledge the Rabban Shalom, that's how much he's going to acknowledge me. So I lost those opportunities of getting and acknowledging the Rabban Shalom when I was sinning, and therefore I didn't have the connection to the Rabban Shalom. So I'm not only mourning what I did wrong, but what I could have benefited had I not done what was wrong. Okay. And that's also another hint to Elul. In L'David HaShemori, it says, Lulei Hamanti L'Ros B'Tuv HaShem. David HaMelech said, that I believe 100% that there's a world to come, but I'm afraid that I don't have a portion there. Right? I miss the opportunity. That's the word lule. So lule backwards is elul. So that is the second aspect, and that gives a person an incentive not only to stop doing the bad, but to start doing good in the coming year. So that's the second aspect of the crying of this woman, the crying over the fact that her parents didn't have the opportunity to convert, meaning that had she known earlier, maybe she would have converted earlier too, and it's a shame the opportunity that she lost. And finally, the third reason for her crying is gratitude for a parent that died, and you mourn for them. That's respect for the parents, honor, honoring a parent even when they're dead by mourning for them. Okay, and that is because of Hakaras HaTov, because of gratitude, and that is the following. It says, "B'makom shebalei tshuva omdim, afilu tzadik gomreinu yochol lamod." In a place where people who did averus but did tshuva, real tshuva, stand, even tzaddikim who never sin can't stand in that place. Why? Because sometimes by sinning and renouncing the sin and doing tshuva, you reach a higher level than if you never sinned at all. It says, "Sheva yipol tzaddik v'kam." A tzaddik can fall seven times and get up. It doesn't mean that despite his falling he gets up, but sometimes because of the fall he gets up in a stronger way than he would have been had he not fallen. Sometimes you're walking not steadily, but if you can remain standing, you'll stand, but you're unsteady, then you fall. Now you have to make a concerted effort to get up. Now you get up, you're standing much more steady than you were before. Had you not fallen, you wouldn't be as steady as you were. So too, sometimes had you not sinned and renounced it, right, you wouldn't be as strong or as on a high level. That doesn't mean a person should sin and do tshuva, but if you've sinned and done tshuva, it could be that you've gained, right, more than even had you not sinned at all. And not only that, the sin now became the impetus to the tshuva. So the sin itself now becomes a mitzvah, because it's part of the mitzvah of tshuva. So again, you can't anticipate and do that to begin with. I'm going to sin so I can do tshuva. That doesn't work. In fact, if you say, "I'm going to sin and do tshuva," it's very difficult to do tshuva. You have to first do tshuva from saying that, and do the tshuva not related to that. In any case, but therefore, the makom shebali tshuva omdim, where bali tshuva stand, right? They fell and they put themselves up. Even a tzaddik gomer can't stand with that kind of solidity. And also, what's it called? There's another idea. People who sinned, okay, and do tshuva, have the opportunity to learn from their sin how to do mitzvahs better. It says that Yaakov Avinu said, "I lived with Lavan, right, for 22 years, and 22 years, yeah. And I what's it called? And I didn't learn from his evil deeds." So I think the Chofetz Chaim says it means Lavan used to get up at 5 o'clock to plot his trickery. I only got up at 5:30. I didn't learn from Lavan how to put the tremendous effort he put into doing evil. I didn't put the same effort into doing good. I should have learned from him. Sometimes you can learn from the sins that you do, powers that you have that now you can use for the good. So a person can learn from the desire and the verve and the effort and the excitement that you put in sometimes into sinning, how now you can put that into, you have the power, you have the potential to put that into good. So therefore, a person, this woman crying as gratitude even for her parents who were idol worshippers, but they're parents. Same thing, we cry during Elul as gratitude for the sins themselves. Now that I'm doing tshuva, I can look back and I can see that I gained from those sins, because falling has helped me be a stronger person, and I've learned from the way that I dealt with the sins that maybe I should deal that way now with the good, because I have that potential to go and put such effort and such enjoyment and into a sin. I can do the same thing with mitzvahs now. So therefore we cry during Elul for three purposes. One, to make closure on the sins themselves. Secondly, to realize that not only do we have to make closure on the sin, but we have to feel that we lost opportunities because of those sins. and feel bad about those opportunities and make our mind to get those opportunities in the future. And the first one is, the three stages in tshuva are harata, azivas achet, stopping the sin, regretting it, and accepting for the future that you'll do differently. So these are the three things. Stopping the sin is the first idea of crying, closure. Regretting it, and I regret all the opportunities I gave up because of those sins, is regret. And now, I accept in the future that I've learned from the sin, I'm a stronger person, I'm not going to do this again. And just the opposite, my experience with the sin is going to make me a stronger person to make sure that I don't do that in the future. So those are the three ideas, and also it corresponds to the other hint of Elul, Ish L'Re'ehu U'Matonos Le'Evyonim, right? That it says people should give presents to their friends and presents to the poor on Purim. Those words, Ish L'Re'ehu is Aleph Lamed, U'Matonos Vav Le'Evyonim Lamed is Elul. Meaning that this is Hakaras HaTov, by recognizing what you gain from other people. Right, even from poor people, the fact that you have the opportunity to give them, and from friends, what you gain, the same thing, once you've done tshuva for the Avera, it's a little bit of your friend that you've gained from it, realize what you benefited by the sin and the tshuva, and apply that to the future. And that is the third aspect of Elul. Elul is the end of the year, the idea of closure. Elul is the beginning of the atonement process, the idea of regretting the sin and realizing the opportunities you lost because of it. And Elul is 30-day preparation for the judgment of Rosh Hashanah, which is, what's it called, now understanding what you've gained from the sin and doing tshuva, what you're going to take with you into the coming year, what you're going to leave behind. So if we concentrate on those three ideas, the crying of this woman, for the three reasons we give her to cry, to make closure on the past, to have gratitude to her parents by mourning for them, and for feeling bad that they didn't have the opportunity to convert, right? And meaning that she's also crying that she didn't convert earlier. So same thing, is those are the things we go through during Elul. Make closure on the sins that you realize you're going to have to stop, the year's coming to an end, to have a feeling that not only are you supposed to stop the sin, but realize what opportunities you lost because of those sins, and regret doing the sin. And thirdly, have Hakaras HaTov, have a certain amount of gratitude for what you've gained from that sin by doing tshuva, right? Now that the sin has brought you to tshuva, there is a gain that you have to understand, and what positive things can you take from this process of sinning and doing tshuva in how to serve the Rabbanu Shlom in the future.